Good morning. Good to see you this morning. We are so glad you're here. We are continuing in our study in the book of Proverbs this morning. And so let me invite you to listen to the word of the Lord as we begin. We'll start in 26:18, but I'm going to jump around a little bit. Like a maniac shooting flaming arrows of death is one who deceives their neighbor and says, "I was only joking." Without wood, a fire goes out. Without a gossip, a quarrel dies down. Smooth words may hide a wicked heart, just as a pretty glaze covers a clay pot. Drive out the mocker, and out goes strife. Quarrels and insults are ended. Okay, we're going to come back to that in just a moment, but I want to start out. I want to see, out of curiosity, how many of you have ever taken an Uber or a Lyft? Show of hands. So a lot of us have taken an Uber or a Lyft, a rideshare program. It's a pretty ingenious thing to come around over the last few years, if you ask me. As opposed to riding in a cab, when you take a rideshare, you know what you're going to pay before you agree to take that ride, right? So we love that. And through the app, you can just show them where you are through your location, and you can see wherever the driver is and where they're coming from. Follow their progress to get where you are. And there's no more wondering what weird route they might take, because you can stay on the app and you can watch how they're getting you where you need to go. But if you've ever taken one of these services, then you also quickly learn that there's a lot of variables in the type of ride that you have. So sometimes you ride in a clean, pristine, wonderful ride. Someone's taken well care of it. I do remember one time riding in a vehicle that was absolutely beat up, trashed, where there should be carpet. I just saw metal on the floor, and I wasn't sure if we were going to make it to my destination or if at some point that car was going to be stalled and I would be pushing while the driver was steering. And there's other variables in the type of driver that you get. So some have music blaring, and for some, it's quiet. And some are chatty Cathy's when you're in the car with them. They're spilling everything about their life and their background and what they had for lunch and the greatest regret, and they're hoping that you might open up as well. And some are they're just there to drive you from here to there. And so Uber has started to introduce all kinds of different choices. The cheapest is you share a ride with other people. And if you don't want to do that, then you can pay a little bit more and you get an UberX. It's just for you, the UberX. And then you can get Uber Select, which is supposed to be a little nicer than the UberX. You can go with Uber Black, which is their executive treatment. And then there's other things that if you'll pay a little bit more, you can make a reservation for what's called the Comfort Ride. And if you do that, you're paying 20 to 40% more for the Comfort Ride, but it's supposed to be guaranteed to be newer, nicer, leather seats, leg room for those who need it. You can actually set the temperature range on the app that you want while you're riding in the vehicle. And there is one more thing that Uber has introduced over the last few months. If you'll pay that 20 to 40% more, have you heard about this? It's called quiet mode. You can click on the app before the driver gets there to let the driver know that you're not interested in talking at all. You don't have to hope that the driver will pick up on the social cues of how you're responding or not responding. You don't have to wonder if they're going to talk about the weather or politics or how bad your favorite team is playing that year. You don't have to wonder if they're going to talk at all. All you have to do is hit the little button and you can ride or you can read or you can rest in quiet. Intriguing, right? I don't know if it's 20 to 40% more intriguing, but it is intriguing. And it's also appealing beyond just an Uber ride, right? I mean, let's be honest, wouldn't something like that be wonderful from time to time in real life? A little button where you're in the middle of a conversation that's going on and on, or you can tell, uh-oh, this is not going anywhere good. Or you're at the Thanksgiving table with the whole family, and you can see crazy uncle is going to bring up something that no one wants to talk about or should talk about. And so in the middle of the conversation, you casually put up your hand. Give me just a moment. You pull out the phone and you tap quiet mode. That would be delightful from time to time, wouldn't it? Not all the time. We all like a good conversation, even with a stranger, but sometimes the power to just tap quiet mode, that's got some appeal to it. And by the way, don't think I don't know that while I'm preaching, some of you this very moment wish you could pull out your phone and find the quiet mode, or at least like a podcast. Let's speed this thing up to 1.5 or 2. I think we can get the gist. You can move this thing along. That would be okay. I understand. I get it. I've been there. Well, Proverbs has a lot to say about what we say and how we say it. And one of the ways of wisdom promoted by Proverbs is that the wise know when and how to employ the quiet mode. Not for others, mind you, but for ourselves. Wisdom means learning in what situations silence really is golden. Those times when you say it best, when you say nothing at all. Those times when we should be quick to listen and slow to speak. Like we hear in 11:12, the one who has understanding holds their tongue. Or 10:19, when words are many, transgression is not lacking. But the prudent are restrained in speech. There is so much pain, and there are so many problems that can occur when words are gone wild. And so a lot of us, if we've grown up in church, we remember what James has to say about this in chapter 3. In fact, James has a lot to say about how our tongues can get us into all kinds of problems, how words gone wild are like a little spark that can set a whole forest ablaze. In the same way, Proverbs talks about all the damage done by cruel, careless, malicious words. And there's a lot more than we're going to try to cover this morning. Some of them we talked about last week, like those who are always trying to stir up problems with their words, through their anger, they're quarrelsome, always picking a fight. And Proverbs talks about the damage that's done through lying, and even the damage that's done in a legal sense by lying and bearing false witness against someone. Or Proverbs talks about the damage that can come from empty flattery, how we can be convinced something false about ourselves in the process, or the damage of deceptive words. But I want to hone in on three issues that show up in Proverbs several times. And the first, you already heard me read about, is gossip. So let me read a few more of those passages. The words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to the inmost parts. People eat them up, but they are so destructive. A gossip reveals secrets, therefore do not associate with a babbler. Without wood, a fire goes out. Without a gossip, a quarrel dies down. The word that's translated gossip can also be translated whisperer. This is someone who is telling stories that aren't theirs to tell. They're sharing news no matter how hurtful it is to share. And we know this can be a huge problem in our world. There are whole magazines and magazine TV shows and websites that are all geared toward this kind of information, usually around celebrities, people that are famous, as if just because they're famous, it's up for grabs that we know everything about their lives, whether we should or not. And if you work in an office area, you know this can be an issue in an office. And if we can be confessional, we know this can be a big problem in church. And there's a lot of ways that gossip will show up in disguise, masquerading as concern for the person. I only tell you this horrible secret about this person because I'm concerned, of course. Or it masquerades as concern for what's right. Well, I just want to stand up for what I believe in, and that's why I'm trashing this person behind their back and sharing facts and half facts and misinformation. The kind of place or kind of thing that comes from a very judgmental, arrogant place, spiritual superiority, and maybe the most sinister, it masquerades as a prayer request. Guys, can I just tell you something about someone else so we can be in prayer for them? Now, they don't really want this out, but I just think you should know so we can pray. I'm guessing we've all been on the receiving end, and we've probably also been on the giving end too. And it is painful to hear what others have been saying about you that they won't say to you. Don't get sucked into that destruction. It kills relationships. It crushes the soul. And the second is the inspiration for the title of this sermon, and it's now one of my favorite verses in Scripture. 26:18, I read it at the beginning, like a maniac shooting flaming arrows of death is one who deceives their neighbor and says, "I was only joking." Let's just revel in that imagery for just a moment. A maniac shooting flaming arrows of death. Now, it talks about deception, and it's hard to tell from what's said here whether this is a prank or whether this is a lie or whether this is just hurtful humor, but we know how often we employ that kind of language and how damaging and reckless it can be, even if what we say or do is followed up with, "Well, I was just joking. I was just kidding around. I didn't mean it." And this is one of those areas that receives a lot of conversation these days. What, can we not have a sense of humor about anything anymore? Why does everyone have to be so sensitive? So, for those who are overly sensitive about those they think who are overly sensitive, let me say this. Yes, we can still joke. We can still have fun. Absolutely. But what is Proverbs trying to do? It's trying to help us grow in wisdom and understanding. And part of growing in wisdom and understanding is knowing when something is humorous and when it's just hurtful. That's part of what we're trying to learn. We want to learn when a joke is just silly and when it's actually serious. Wisdom means learning when a joke is playful and when it's crossed over into personal. And it's just pretending to be playful. And we know those times when a joke is not really a joke. We're hiding truth behind the joke. So, when groups who are different start to be dehumanized for the sake of humor, that may be a good sign we've crossed over into something that's personal. Or when there's a lot of people laughing, but there's a group that isn't laughing, that they're hurting, that's a good sign we've crossed over into something that is personal and hurtful. Or even if someone is laughing along, we know it can be destructive. We know the times when we've been hurt, but we still laugh along. For example, women who work in a business that is dominated by men will report trying to laugh and go along with inappropriate jokes that are made at their expense because they don't want one more way that they stand out or that they get left out. And people who are a minority in a situation will report something similar. We can't mistake someone in a position where they feel powerless, but they try to go along to get along. We can't mistake that as always meaning that our words, that our humor is not hurtful. And we know this because we in the South talk about this all the time. We know just because you say something awful and hurtful and demeaning and then follow it up with, bless her heart, it doesn't undo what you just said, does it? The truth of what you said was still there. It doesn't wash over it. Just like washing down five giant pieces of chocolate cake with a cool 36 ounces of Diet Coke doesn't undo the five pieces of chocolate cake. I love Diet Coke, but it doesn't take away what came before it, and neither does all the ways that we followed up. I was just joking. I was just kidding. I didn't mean it. 26:23, like the silver dross covering a clay pot, are smooth lips with an evil heart. We can wrap mean, hateful, hurtful speech with words that sound beautiful, biblical, spiritual, patriotic, caring, genuine, or joking. But Proverbs is saying it's like silver dross. It's just a veneer. It looks pretty, but it's not what it's proclaiming to be. Sugar-coated hatred and bigotry and sexism and racism or whatever ism that we may be into at that particular time is just as damaging, even if we sugarcoat it. And there's a third prominent problem that keeps showing up in Proverbs. And it has to do with what Proverbs calls, or the person Proverbs calls, the mocker, the scoffer. And some of us in class talked about this word today. It shows up 14 times in Proverbs, the mocker, the scoffer. Like 29:8, mockers stir up a city, but the wise turn away anger. The mocker, the scoffer, is someone who's always finding the flaws and pointing out the faults and making sure everyone sees the problems. And the example that comes to mind first for me is from a movie I love and a lot of you have seen, Christmas Vacation. Now, it's a ridiculous movie, and the main character, Clark, is a ridiculous character. And you may know that at one point in the movie, he is obsessed with getting the Christmas lights up on the house. And Clark is absolutely over the top in what he's doing. He is absurd. But he tries and he fails and he tries and he fails, and finally, he succeeds. And the whole family comes out to celebrate with Clark on this wonderful accomplishment of 20,000 lights or so burning on the house. And each one gives a different compliment and a celebration until he comes to his father-in-law, Arthur. Art. And when he gets to Art, after everyone else is complimented, Art looks up at the house and he says, "The little lights are not twinkling." And Clark replies with exasperation, "I know, Art, and thanks for noticing." And I can't tell you how many times when I'm on the receiving end of some statement that feels a little petty in pointing out the problems, how many times that line runs through my head. "I know, and thanks for noticing. I got it, and thanks for noticing. The rest was pretty good, though, but thanks for noticing," right? "Your report card came in. I couldn't help but notice all the A's, but there was that one A minus. I know, and thanks for noticing." You know, this Thanksgiving spread that you put together with the family, amazing. You worked for days on this thing, right? That was so wonderful. Now, I did happen to notice that of the five desserts that you prepared, one of them wasn't quite up to par with your usual standards. And we say, "I know. Thanks for noticing." And it can happen in church. You know, our church has been involved in a lot of great efforts over the last 6 months, most of which I've chosen not to help with, but still, good job. But I couldn't help but notice of the 20 things we're doing here, there's one thing there that someone seems to be neglecting. Now, I'm not going to help with that one thing. I could tell you I don't have time. I do have time. I'm not really interested. But I just thought I should point out that of all the good things here, there is this one thing there. "I know, and thanks for noticing." Don't be the mocker, the scoffer, the constant complainer, the self-appointed negative Ned and Debbie Downer. It only fuels your own misery, and guess what? It spreads it around as well. Which is why Proverbs says, "Drive out the mocker, and out goes strife. Quarrels and insults are ended." In this way, the sermon comes full circle, because your mama was right. If you don't have anything nice to say, sometimes it's best to say nothing at all. We got to learn the wisdom of being quick to listen and slow to speak. The one who has understanding knows when to hold their tongue. But we also know, and this is how we close this morning, that there is more we should do. I mean, we should start there. Slow down on all the things we say that cut and are cruel and are hurtful, that damage relationships and people. But we should also learn not just to stay silent at certain times, but we need to be people who know how to speak up in encouraging ways. The mouth of the godly is a fountain of life. The tongue of the godly is choice silver. The lips of the godly feed many. Who will you feed this week? Who will you lift up this week? Who will you bless this week? If the best blessing you can offer is to remain silent, then remain silent. But find ways to speak goodness and encouragement into people's lives. Even people you don't like, even people with whom you disagree, choose to be an encourager in what you say. Because after all, the very description of who we are is that we are a people who have been claimed and proclaim good news. So be a speaker of good news this week.